Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Yeah, at 16-14, I thought, okay, this is going to be a slugfest. I mean, it'll probably be in the 30s or something like that, but it'll go back and forth.
Oh, take the over. It was a take the over.
Yeah.
Because they were scoring.
Yeah, and I thought we'd go back and forth the whole game, and just Alabama couldn't get anything going.
By the way, both teams can run it.
Sure.
Both teams. And to David's point,
there's pros.
Those are all pros.
They're all playing on Sunday.
All of them.
Man. Yeah.
Want to draft Josh Dotson? Or you want to draft this kid?
Unbelievable.
Crazy?
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We're live at Chatter with Gary Braun and Gene McManus. Nigel will produce the show, run the board, do the news. Michael and perhaps the baby boy Bootsy Lion King will show up in a little while. I'm not exactly sure. Before we get into the show, let me stress again that we have a furlough special at Chatter. If you have a government ID, a U.S. government ID, and you have been one of the people furloughed now for a couple of weeks, you can get 15% off a variety of entrees and burgers and salads and sandwiches. Not for drinks. It's not for drinks, but it's for food because we want you to have sustenance. We want you to walk out of here stronger than you walked into here. So you can claim that if you're listening in the area and you want to come to Chatter today or tomorrow, or as long as the furlough lasts. I don't know how long it's going to last. We'll get to that later in the show. But you can get 15%
off. Just need your federal ID.
Federal
is that
ID, right?
We and have Social Security number, right?
Right.
No, we're not taking down. We're not doing any of that. We have trivia tonight. People like to come for trivia. Tuesday night is trivia night. Or is tonight Wednesday?
Tonight would be Wednesday.
Okay, so we had trivia last night.
Well, it depends on when you're listening.
So we don't have trivia tonight. But if you want to come in for trivia and say, Tony said we had trivia, just come in. That's fine. And we're looking for mural ideas. Again, we have downstairs in the hallway that leads to the bathroom. We have about 40 feet of space, 40 by 4. And if you send us, if you email us your ideas, we don't come from distance. We're not going to pay you. We're not going to pay your travel. We're not going to pay your hotel. We're not going to do anything like that. So to me, it's for local artists who would like to do this. You can sign your work, but we're not in the payment business. Am I wrong on this?
No, I think that's right. I think it's a good opportunity for an artist. Now, Darren Elwood.
Please don't paint the Last Supper
with
all of our
faces.
Tweeted
to me at Braun Film, the Last Supper.
Please
but,
don't.
But he, there's a glaring omission in that Jeannie's face is not there.
We're not going to have the Last Supper.
Well, there might be some issue that he has with me.
There might be.
Wouldn't be the first listener.
We're not going to have the Last Supper or anything like that. You know, and no cute pictures of dogs and cats. We're not going to do that. I really shouldn't say what I'm going to say now. All right.
Turn it up, boys and girls.
To get the editing button out.
I just want to say this. I'll say this as politically as I can. If you know me, you know, if you have history with me, if you go back a ways and you want to help someone and you're asking me for help,
don't do it.
Don't do that.
Don't do it, Tony.
Don't do it. I will extend myself, but I will extend myself once. I'm like the Kentucky basketball team. I'm one and done. Because sometimes you think, oh, Tony helped me. We'll do it. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I think you know who you are.
And don't play the guilt card.
I have no guilt whatsoever.
He's impervious to that.
I'll start with college basketball. I'll start with, you know, the hot boy, Zion Williamson. Everybody wants Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson is a freakishly talented physical guy. He's weighs 285 pounds,
it's
and he
amazing.
Can jump like 44 inches straight up. He's a helicopter. He's fantastic. He can handle the ball. He can't quite shoot from way outside yet. Give him some time on that. He's muscular. He's quick. He's got a great sense for the basket. He was the number 2 rated basketball player in the country last year in high school. The number 1 and 3 and 4 all went to Duke, and they're all playing together. Duke beat Wake Forest last night handily. Zion Williamson had 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. This is a staggering line in a 40-minute game, you know, where you're not playing the whole game. That's not really what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is something that was amazing to me. Often you find out in the middle of December that Syracuse has not really left upstate New York. If they've played on the road, they played on the road once or twice in upstate New York.
Right.
And they understand, you know, they don't leave the New York State line. They go down to the Garden, they play a game, you know, but they don't leave New York State till mid-December or something like that, right? What is this noise?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was my computer.
Okay.
That's my fault. Let me reset the board.
No. Duke last night. Last night was January 8th, right? Today's January 9th?
Yes. That's right. All day.
That was Duke's first road game.
What?
Now, two road games. Now, Duke's played in some tournaments. Duke's played in neutral sites. But that was the first time they played
2-hour bus ride.
The first time they played on the road, January 8th. That's the first time they played on the road. If you want to ask yourself why, well, it's chicken and egg. I mean, Duke has the best players.
Right.
And Duke's ranked all the time. They got great players. They got great coaches and all of that. But they don't leave. They don't go anywhere. Buffalo, which is ranked in the top 20 and which beat Syracuse at Syracuse a couple of weeks ago, Buffalo played their first home game last night in 3.5 weeks. Because, you know, Buffalo, if they want to schedule somebody good, they got to go.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Nobody's going to Buffalo except Canisius and Niagara, who are already there. And St. Bonaventure. It's a 30-minute trip.
Phil's mom.
Duke. Is that not...
That's astonishing.
It's a small little factoid that is amazing.
But are you thinking this is predictive of something down the road, that they're not as good as they are?
No, I just think what it says is that they never really have to test themselves in the way that other teams... Now, they will, because they're in the ACC, and they got to go on the road for, you know, eight, nine games.
So the reverse, is it reverse corollary, or would that be redundant? But to your Buffalo point, Duke doesn't have to go in it. Like,
People want to go to Duke.
Right.
And couldn't this just be that Krzyzewski's getting older, and like you, his grid is getting smaller?
That could be.
And he just doesn't want to leave that zip code?
I just find it amazing. Jim Boeheim gets a lot of criticism for not leaving New York State. Krzyzewski didn't leave Durham. Yeah. I mean, basically didn't leave Durham except for a couple of tournaments. And he plays in the tournaments.
He barely left last night.
You know.
I mean, going to Winston-Salem.
Probably an hour away. But Winston-Salem, like probably not. Two?
Okay. 2 hours.
But don't you wonder then what happens when they get into the NCAA tournament?
Because they're Duke.
You don't think that would predict? Okay.
No, because they have to go on the road for all their ACC games.
Well, and they did. They have been on the road. They just weren't technically road games. They were home teams in a hostile circumstance.
Right. It's somebody else's home court.
They'll get that in conference.
There's some other things to mention. UNC, which you always mention if you mention Duke, they beat NC State. Maryland won last night at Minnesota. Pulled away.
Really looked good. I don't know if you watched any of that game.
I watched some of that game. Yeah. They pulled away. They look good. St. John's back in the top 25 at number 24 for the first time in a million years, promptly lost at Villanova. But St. John's, if you think Georgetown has been in a slump, St. John's has been in a far more prolonged slump than Georgetown. And we associate those schools with the Big East, all of those years.
You should regale us with stories sometime about
Louis Carnesecca.
Yeah, Carnesecca and Big John.
Going to the Big East tournament.
Did you ever see them play?
And doing your taxes.
So this is.
Do you remember the game when Big John wore the sweater?
I do.
You should tell us.
But so you're making fun of me, which is fine. Yesterday when we talked at some length, not as much as we're going to talk today with Freeman and among ourselves, of Matt LaFleur, and I said, is he the guy on Friends, which I thought would be funny. Matt Kelleher said to me yesterday, I tried the line out. He said, don't use it. I said, why? He goes, nobody here knows who Matt LeBlanc is.
Really?
Nobody knows who he is. That's 20 years ago. That's an eternity ago. You will appear old and, you know, and crypt-like. Don't even do it. Don't even do it.
Wow,
they don't know
old.
Friends.
I never watched Friends.
Neither did I.
Come on, Friends. They stream Friends on Netflix or whatever.
Yeah, Matt LeBlanc.
I might have to push back
Matt
on Kelleher.
Kelleher
for that
has
one.
A pretty good sense.
Yeah, he does.
Of what
does.
Works he and does. What doesn't work. Matt Kelleher said to me, I'm just telling you, you can do it. I'm just telling you not to go there.
The term crypt-like is kind of chilling.
Yeah, that will turn you in another direction.
God bless Matt for having your back like that, because I would say go for it. Thinking in the back of my head, crickets, this is going to be tremendous.
Right, so I didn't.
And I was going to go with the Guy Lafleur joke.
Wilbon did.
Okay, did that work?
Well, at least sport fans.
Didn't work, but at least it's sports. Yeah. At least it's sports. So three guys have been apparently hired or about to be hired in the NFL, much to the consternation of some columnists in the world. Matt LaFleur going to Green Bay, Cliff Kingsbury, very handsome, going to Arizona, and Bruce Arians, almost my age, going to Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians said last year the only job he would take is Cleveland. Well, I guess Cleveland didn't offer because he took the Tampa Bay job. He didn't say that.
Josh McDaniels rumored to be honing in on that job.
Which job?
Cleveland.
Josh McDaniels?
Yeah.
Really?
I thought he removed himself from all consideration.
Yeah, he just said no more interviews. I'm staying here.
I might be looking at an old story.
Yesterday he said, I'm done.
Okay.
Leave me alone. Cliff Kingsbury, 35-40 at Texas Tech. Not the SEC West. Not where you have to play Alabama and LSU and Auburn and A&M all the time. No. At the Big 12, not nearly as good a conference. 35-40, just got the head coaching job at Arizona with the Arizona Cardinals. I assume that the reason they do that is because they think, okay, we've got Josh Rosen, and he had Baker Mayfield, and he had Johnny Manziel as an assistant, and he had Patrick Mahomes, who is a comet.
Yeah.
So maybe he can do it here. Because everybody's trying to find the next Sean McVay. Matt LaFleur hired for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
Try to find the next Sean McVay. Bruce Arians not hired for that reason.
I think you're better off trying to find the next Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, but, well, that might help. Yeah. So Bruce Arians hired to Tampa Bay. That is, he's in his mid to late 60s.
I think he's 67, Tony.
That's a little bit surprising to me. Tampa Bay is not a job I would want. Tampa Bay, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem on an annual basis with Jameis Winston.
66.
Till you cut him.
66.
You know, so I don't know where you go from there. Do you go back to Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I think Jameis Winston, if you're an offensive-minded coach, as Arians is, and he's had some success offensively in this league,
I think
Jameis Winston is an intriguing player for you. I think he's the kind of guy who you think, you know, man, if I can get him to take care of the ball, and he's got the tools and the skill set, and they have some weapons there with Mike Evans.
If I can keep him from getting in trouble off the field, which he has a proclivity for doing,
dating
all the way back to Florida State.
And not stopping. On the field, he's erratic. I don't think he's consistent.
Got a big arm.
Yeah.
Big arm, strong guy.
Yeah.
Finds the right receivers. Anyway, so those
keep him out of my Uber.
Yeah, those are things. Yeah, absolutely. And to acknowledge this, Brenda Fries, the head coach of women's basketball at the University of Maryland, got her 500th victory last night. And
oh,
if you had asked me how many did she have, I would have said 200, 300. I wouldn't have had any idea.
Been very good
at
there
Nebraska,
for a long time.
She has a national championship.
She does.
Yeah. You know, you think Connecticut has all the national championships, and if they don't, maybe Notre Dame or Duke. No, she's got one. 2006. In fact, she's got the most recent one.
Yeah, and additional Final Fours, I believe. They're perennial top 25 program.
They're nine now. They're 14-1. Their record is 14-1, and they're number nine. All right, so we will take a break. When we come back, Mike Freeman will join us. And Nigel asked me yesterday, should we get Barry's Verluga on? Should we do this? Should we do it? And I said, it's the NFL.
Yeah, it's a great
weekend.
The
NFL is winding down. Well, let's just do nothing but the NFL, and we welcome the baby boy, Bootsy.
Here he comes.
As we conclude our first segment.
It's a little sleepy.
We'll be back with Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Sonos ad, and it starts this way. Hey there, we hope you enjoy your Sonos home sound system. Our play base will put you at the center of all your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, it plays music so you can go from watching the game to blasting your victory song. The Sonos One blends great sound with Amazon Alexa, so you can use your voice to control music, podcasts, and more. Just ask. We chose you to do this ad because we like how your personality comes through on your podcast. Is that me, or they do that
no,
for
I
me?
Waved,
no, I think,
I
oh, that's absolutely
him.
Specifically
We'd like
you.
To hear you talk about your personal experience with Sonos in your own voice and engage with your listeners the way you would on any other topic. Well, I will, because we have a Sonos system in the room where we have our TV. And in honor of the baby boy Bootsy, I'll tell you what he does. He walks over to the system. There's green lights and white lights and stuff like that.
Very exciting.
And starts pressing everything.
Oh, yeah. Kid loves buttons.
So that when I, in the morning, like the previous morning, when I could put the sound on number 5 or number 6 and it would fill the room, the next day it's got to go to 48.
Boom.
Because the baby boy Bootsy has put his imprint on the Sonos sound system. Does this make me angry? Not at all. It actually makes me delighted that this happens. And I just shrug and go, the baby boy Bootsy did this. What do you love about your Sonos home sound system? How has PlayBase changed the way that you and your family enjoy watching sports and TV at home? How is the setup process? There was none. Michael did it. Describe the sound quality of your Sonos system. In the absence of the baby boy, it's fabulous. Do you ever use voice control on your Sonos One to ask Alexa for game scores or the latest sports news? You're asking the wrong guy. Alexa frightens me. Every once in a while, she goes on her own, and I go, what happened here? What just happened here? And I know she's recording everything I've ever done.
Oh, absolutely.
So that frightens me. To learn more about Sonos Home Sound System, go to Sonos, Sonos.com. That's Sonos.com.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Devin Heritage. And we've played this before.
Yes, we've played this.
And we like it.
Yes, very much so.
It goes, here's a song if you'd like to use it. We were a band from D.C. that broke up in 2008, so that's a decade ago. Had a decent amount of success. The band was called The Cause, C-A-U-S-E, and the song is called Red-Eyed Sinners. We liked it.
It's quite good.
You can listen to all of it at the end of the podcast. Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report joins us now. As we go all week long, we're going to do as much NFL as we can. Last week when we talked to Freeman, we talked about the coaches who were fired, and the only coach I would have made a case for was the guy from Arizona who I thought got short shrift. And I also, by the way, would have fired Ron Rivera. And I also, by the way, well, who's the other guy? Doug Marrone. So I'd have gone to 10 wide if it was my league. I'd have gone to 10 wide, maybe 9, because I'd have kept the Arizona guy. So now we have the beginnings of people who are being hired to replace these people. We have Matt LaFleur to the Packers. We have Cliff Kingsbury, the impossibly handsome Cliff Kingsbury, to the Cardinals. And we have Bruce Arians, who I think I went to junior high with, to Tampa Bay. So we'll just start in that order. Matt LaFleur to the Packers. Freeman, I say this a lot about Davey Martinez, the manager of the Washington Nationals. Just because you sit next to somebody who's really good doesn't mean that you're really good. This guy has sat next to Kyle Shanahan. He has sat next to Sean McVay on his own at Tennessee. That offense regressed. He is getting Aaron Rodgers for the end of Aaron Rodgers' career. Thumbs up or thumbs down for you on Matt LaFleur getting that job?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it either, Tony, just based on you put it perfectly. Just because he's been around those guys doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a good head coach. And his body of work in Tennessee wasn't all that great.
It wasn't good. It wasn't particularly good.
It wasn't horrible.
Right.
But, I mean, is that how you base hiring a coach? He wasn't terrible.
Not horrible. That's like those great commercials now, Freeman.
It's okay.
Or how are you with your brakes? They're okay.
Yeah,
we always say around here, if they don't work, something else will stop you.
Guess who just got recertified?
Those are great.
Well, you're fine.
Not really.
You're okay. Come coach my team. You aren't terrible.
Right.
I mean, there's some strange hires. And I know we're going in order. Arians' hire, I get. He had a really good run in Arizona. He's the kind of guy that you bring in to rebuild and move forward. He's not necessarily, I mean, no one's Bill Belichick, but he's not going to necessarily take you. You're going to go on this big run, but he's good. He's a good fundamental coach who will just put a team on his shoulders and be able to carry them pretty far.
Let me just push back on that for a second. And I like Bruce Arians fine. But I believe Bruce Arians said during this year, the only team I want to coach, the only team I'd leave the booth for is the Cleveland Browns. Now, unless there was a really big win last night with cyclonic effect, Cleveland Browns have not landed in Tampa Bay, Florida. So what is that about?
I think he just got a better offer, a better situation. He thought it was, you know, a lot of these guys, Tony, during this process, they say a lot of things and then they change their minds. It happens. I think it happened with him. I think he looks at that situation and sees, I don't see it, but he looks at that quarterback, he looks at Jameis Winston and says, I can fix this guy and we can go far with this guy. I think it's dangerous because Jameis Winston has showed that he doesn't learn. I mean, you go through what he did in college.
You do it again and again.
You basically do it again. I mean, you get one break, and then you do the same, almost the same thing again you're accused of. So I think it's a risk, whoever coaches, but he thinks he can turn that around. So I think he saw that, and I think the Cleveland job is a better job. You and I have talked about that.
It is.
I think the Jets job is a better job. So, I mean, it's a strange thing. And the last one, I mean, I don't get that one at all. It's bizarre to me. He got fired in college, and was just an average coach in college, and he goes to coach an NFL team based on not being good in college. It's a weird hire to me. I'm not saying he's got talent, but he hasn't really demonstrated it long term. And he gets hired for a really good NFL job. I mean, it just some of these hires, two of the three of these hires so far make no sense to me.
Cliff Kingsbury, 35 and 40 in the Big 12. Again, not in the SEC West, in the Big 12, which isn't nearly as good. 35 and 40. He had Pat Mahomes, and it's got Freeman. This has to be it. That Pat Mahomes is such a supernova right now that you look in his tree and you say, "Get me somebody who once had him on speed dial." And I got a young quarterback. Maybe this guy works magic. I think it's risky. I do.
That I agree, but that your reasoning is it exactly. The key to all these hires is fixing the quarterback.
Yes,
and
yes,
that's what you're seeing. You're going to see more of this. A lot of these hires aren't necessarily about advancing the team. They're about advancing the quarterback. And the league is so quarterback-centric and crazy and into the quarterback, understandably in some ways, of course. But I think you're going to see, as the NFL always does, as these owners and GMs always do, they overcompensate. They overcorrect. And you're seeing that now. And you're exactly right about Mahomes, and Mahomes has backed him. So that's a big part of it, and
so
you're going to see more of this.
Let me ask you this, and I get that. And I get that Sean McVay is the hot young boy right now, except if he loses this playoff game, he's 0-2, and maybe there's a certain tarnish on him as a result of that. But if that's what you're going after, why wouldn't you go after Dabo Swinney and Lincoln Riley? I mean, there's no greater success with quarterbacks this year than those two guys, right? Right?
Well, I mean, I would, yeah. I don't know why those guys aren't, and maybe they will be down the road. I don't know why they're not in the mix now. Maybe they didn't want these jobs, or maybe they're thinking of looking at other things, or maybe they just don't want to do anything right now.
Right.
But the overall people, teams look at, and you brought up Patrick Mahomes. There are other examples. Mahomes is the best example. They look at that and they go, "We can do that," without realizing that, you know, Mahomes is kind of special. You can't turn everyone into Mahomes, no matter how good a coach you are. And that's the thing that some of these teams just sort of forget. And also, as much as an offensive league as it's become, the NFL, and it is, you're looking now, you're seeing these defenses starting to sort of reemerge. And, I mean, the Eagles won because of a missed field goal, but that defense held Chicago's offense in check.
Yes.
You're seeing more and more of that.
Well, the single best thing that we saw all weekend was the defensive effort of the San Diego Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers, against Baltimore. I think the head coach is a defensive guy. I think.
Anthony Lynn?
Yeah, yes, I think he is.
Yes.
Right? And that was daring, and it was brilliant. And I'm not saying it would work all the time, because it wouldn't. But it worked against a guy that nobody else could figure out for the last 7 weeks, right? And that was defense.
It's a great point. They put in seven defensive backs in the game, the whole game. Six or seven in the whole game, and it was a really bold move. And that's kind of what I'm saying is, some of these guys just aren't offensive geniuses. Some of them are defensive geniuses. Sometimes that works. I mean, even in the league where the rules favor the offense, sometimes a defensive guy with a lot of defensive talent can change things.
So, yeah, let me get to a defensive guy, okay? And I don't know if you were in Washington when Greg Williams was in Washington. He can be abrasive. He thinks he's the smartest guy who ever lived. He does.
Yes.
But he did a great job with Cleveland, and why are they not just saying, "You're our coach"? And I'm telling you, I know how abrasive this guy can be. But didn't he do a great job?
He did a pretty good job. But you are answering your own question, Tony. I mean, he is really obnoxious.
This goes back to the Kingsbury thing. Don't you? If you are hiring a coach for the Browns, as good a job as he did, some of that is simply because he wasn't Hugh Jackson. Don't you want a guy who's going to maximize Baker Mayfield, which I don't know if with a defensive guy you're getting?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a big – I think that's some of it. That's a big part of it. I think Greg Williams has passed. What he did with the Saints is part of it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's personality is part of it.
Yeah.
The dye job on the hair and beard has got to be part of it.
Same here. I agree. That's got to be. That may be most of it, actually.
All right. Let's get to games. Colts at Chiefs. Just, you know, how big a chance? Andrew Luck looks great. And I know you're partial to Andrew Luck, and you always have been. And he looks great. He's going against, you know, the guy that looks even better in Patrick Mahomes. But Andy Reid does not have a great history at home in the playoffs in Kansas City. How much of a chance do you give the Colts?
First of all, Tony, I told you that dynasty would eventually
be there. The emerging exactly. dynasty. I know.
The emerging
superpower. Dynasty. The emerging superpower, emerging. I think your words were. Wilbon hangs you out to dry every year on that.
Superpower.
Yeah.
I give them a really good chance. And I think the Colts – I look at Andrew Luck and I'm shocked he's playing. I mean, there are people who thought he would never play again. I don't even think I think he believed – he wondered if he would ever play again. And he's out there just looking like he never missed a beat.
Yep.
The game against the Texans was incredible, the throws he was making. And they have a really, really strong running game. They do things that the Chiefs have a hard time stopping. I think the problem for them is that the Chiefs can drop like 60.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the only – I mean, the Colts can score. The Colts can run the ball. They can move the ball. But the Chiefs and their defense isn't good in Kansas City, but they can drop a lot of points on you. And I don't know, even despite Andy Reid's sometimes crazy playoff situation, they can still score a lot of points, and that's going to be a really, really hard time for the Colts to overcome.
Cowboys at Rams. Rams don't stop the run at all. Cowboys have the beast-like Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, he was great last week. Dak Prescott tucks it and runs it as good as any quarterback in the league, maybe not as good as Lamar Jackson, but he's really up there, and they don't stop the run. What kind of chance do you give the Cowboys?
Well, you give them a really good chance because of what you said. Ezekiel Elliott has I mean, it's not quietly, but it's been one of the more impressive seasons I've seen a running back have in the last few years. And you don't really – when you talk about the MVP race, his name isn't brought up as much, but he has been incredible this year. Big run after big run. They rely on him so much. And when he gets going, it eases things up on Prescott. And then Prescott has been pretty good this year, the last part of the year. And Amari Cooper, Tony, he has been just, I mean, Amari Cooper I saw in Oakland versus the Amari Cooper I see now, it's night and day. It's incredible. He was that way early in his career at Oakland, but then he disappeared. And now he's just unstoppable. I mean, no one can cover the guy. So they have a really good chance, and they also have a good defense that can kind of give the Rams some trouble.
It was so great with Wilbon the other day. Wilbon starts screaming about, you better give Dak Prescott credit. You better do this. And I said, you picked Seattle. You said Russell Wilson would be the difference. he didn't miss a beat and kept screaming anyway. Chargers at Patriots. The Patriots appear to be the most vulnerable of all the home teams because of the way they closed the season. On the other hand, Mike, it's a lot of years of Patriots winning this game. Maybe not all the games, but they win this game most of the time. What do you think?
Most of the time at home. In the playoffs, they're really, really hard to beat. And they look old. They look slow. Gronkowski looks like every time he runs a route, he's like carrying a piano.
Yeah, can't play anymore.
He looks like a different dude. But these are the games they usually win, Tony. I mean, if they lose this game, it would be a real, real stunner. As good as much as I like the Chargers, as much as I like Phillip Rivers and his 48 kids, this is a tough, tough spot for them because the Patriots are they're a different personality when they're home in the postseason, even though they look old and slow right now.
I think it's also going to be cold there. I think it's going to be cold. That's hard for Patriots. Sorry, for the Chargers. Let's get to the last one. And probably the headline game, Eagles at Saints. Nick Foles, I don't know when it ends. I guess it ends at some point, but it hasn't ended yet. What kind of chance do you give the Eagles? Who hate the Saints, by the way.
I mean, you look at Nick Foles, and you thought it would end last season in the playoffs. You thought it would end when he faced Belichick and Brady. You thought it would end earlier this year. You thought it would end against Chicago.
Yeah.
And he keeps going. This is a really, really tough spot. This is one of the tougher spots he's faced, even as almost as tough as in the Super Bowl, because the Saints, they're at home. They're really tough. And Sean Payton is one of the most underrated play callers in league history, And he will be able to really score a lot of points against that defense. And I don't know if this time Bulls can keep up. But how many times do we say that? We say that every time with him.
Yeah,
we say all the time. He's not going to do it this game, and then he does it. But I think this is a really brutal spot for him.
So I usually say to Wilbon, you own three houses. If you had to put one of your houses up on one of these teams, Freeman, I have no idea how many homes you own. So if you had to put one of Wilbon's three houses up on one road team this weekend, which is a great weekend for football, which is the road team you'd take?
Oh, wow. Indianapolis.
You would?
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The way Andrew Luck is playing and the way they're running the ball and their defense is playing really well, too. And also, Andy Reid in the playoffs has just not been a no bueno.
Yeah.
But it's still – I still expect the Chiefs to win. But if I had to put one of Wilbon's seven houses, then, yes, the Colts.
All right, Freeman, we will talk to you next week. Thank you very much, as always.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it, always.
Mike Freeman, boys and girls. Mike Freeman on Twitter, different than Mike Freeman on this show.
Both entertaining.
Both very entertaining. I know. Jeannie and I know Freeman a long time.
We do. We
love
Freeman.
We
go way back. We do.
All right, we will take a break. We'll come back with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the bespoke post ad. You know what's in this holiday season? Selfishness. Why buy an ugly sweater for a distant uncle when you can buy some awesome for yourself? Specifically, Bespoke Post Box of Awesome. A box of awesome is my favorite way to treat myself every month and to treat the people on this show as well.
Thank
people
you.
On this show received parts of the box of awesome that Michael got for the show last month, right, Michael?
Yes, right before the holidays.
That was very, very nice. Visit boxofawesome.com and answer a few short questions that will help them determine the boxes that fit you best. Each box goes for under $50, but has more than $70 worth of unique gear waiting inside for you. I think that one had cooking things and barrel aging.
So they
things.
Let you choose your themes, and we focused on barware and cooking.
It was very good. And right, Jeannie, you got...
I got a carving knife.
Yeah, that's...
I got a green card.
Cut off their heads with a carving knife.
I caught up the three blind mice.
Yeah.
You got a Moscow mule kit.
The first of each month, you'll receive an email with your box details. If you're not feeling that month's box, simply skip it. From barrel aging kits to limited edition cigars, weekender bags to classy dop kits, Bespoke Post offers essential goods and guidance for the modern man, and I would add for women as well. Not all of it is geared only towards men. To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com. Enter the code Tony at checkout. That is boxofawesome.com. Code Tony for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post. Theme boxes for guys who give a damn.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
We played a song by Joe Marshall yesterday, who is from New Zealand by way of Berlin, which means he's probably
not... How else
not,
are you going to get there?
Yeah, he's not hopping on the M4 to get here at any time.
Probably not.
This is called Alan the Studio Cat. And you think it's named after the socialite?
That's the story I'm going to start spreading, yes.
Okay, that's a very good story.
Why not?
Michael, if people like Joe Marshall, if they want to send in their original music that gets played in its entirety at the end of the podcast and as bumper music during the podcast, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. And I'm going to apologize in advance again. This is day two of Bootsy Watch.
We're happy to have the baby boy
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
He's on the run again.
Rather than ask people, ask Michael what we're selling, I'm going to say this again. We are giving away mural space at Chatter in the downstairs, about 40 feet by about 4 feet. Send us via email your ideas. We'd like it to be a local person just because we're not going to pay expenses and we're not giving you any money. Maybe you'll get a hamburger,
maybe.
If we like the work.
Yeah.
But we're going to give you the opportunity to sign your work and put it up.
Conditional hamburger?
Yeah.
Yeah, team option.
Right, conditional hamburger. All right, it's news time. Go ahead.
Mr. Tony, we'll start off with the association.
I hate this. I just saw something on TV that I hate.
Uh-oh.
Okay, sorry.
They're doing something
for
something called Silver Singles, where 50-year-olds and up, a dating service. And they have this very handsome man who's probably in his mid to late 50s, and it says he's an actor. Actor portrayal.
Of course.
So what? So there's not an ounce of sincerity in that. There's no, I would never use that. There's no sincerity.
Well, being
in that
a man of a certain age, can I ask a question? Is 50 really silver territory?
Yeah,
is that when it starts?
Yeah, 50.
Then what are we?
Oh, dear God.
Tarnished. We are silver that needs polish for many, many years. But actor portrayal, come on!
Well, if they put a real guy, some guy named Gus,
that's
you know,
fine.
With like stains on his
that's
shirt.
That's fine.
I'm gonna put some disgusting real 50-year-old on there.
Yeah, thank you for hiring an actor. Yes. I don't want to look at that.
By the way, speaking of hair, have you seen John Travolta? His new look.
John Travolta has no hair. Right, he's had that hair for
years.
That's been, you know, the talk is that he's been covering up with wigs and hair pieces.
Yes, for wigs for a long time.
And now he has gone, he's lost that.
Like the reverse Urlacher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How does he look?
He looks good. He looks good.
There's a small one of him.
Yeah.
Oh, he does look good.
Yeah.
He does look good. He sort of looks like Sean Connery.
A little bit, yeah.
He looks a little like Sean Connery.
He should like Matt Lauer.
He should embrace that.
Oh, you're not allowed to say that name.
He looks fine. What?
That name
Matt Lauer?
Been eliminated from the language. We will start off with the association, Mr. Tony.
Wizards.
Tough game for the Wizards. They were hanging in there in the first quarter, just trailed by 3 points, but it was that 36-16 second quarter that really put the game away for the Philadelphia 76ers.
It was 68-45 at the half. It was 104-78 at the third quarter, and that's why when you're the beat writer on a team that stinks, that is not going to make the playoffs, that's why you concentrate on somebody named Chasen Randall, some 10-day guy who got a contract for the rest of the year who's nobody. He's nobody because they have you did nothing to write about with that team now.
Yeah,
you
I don't blame her for focusing on him.
You can't keep writing about Bradley Beal.
Right.
You can't. You can't keep writing about how miserable they are. You cannot
Thomas
keep writing.
Thomas Bryant.
Yeah, about, who had no game last night. You cannot keep writing about the fact that John Wall is done and Dwight Howard appears to be one of the worst signings of all time since he never plays.
Can you write about how, if you had told me before the season, Howard would be matching Wall in assists and Wall would be matching Howard in rebounds and it would probably bode pretty well for the team?
Yeah, except that they're
now that they're
and Kelly Oubre,
zeros.
Who they got rid of, and I don't mind them getting rid of him. No. He had 26 last night. He had a career high last night for Phoenix.
How's Trevor Ariza working out for you?
Well, he got 3 points.
Yeah, I think it's like the second game in a row he's like 1-for-8 or 1-for-7.
1-for-7 last night. 0-for-5 from three.
Because on a team like this, he isn't any good. On a good team, he plays defense and hits a few threes, and he's very valuable. On this team, he has no particular value.
Well, he was better when he was here before they traded him.
Well, they were better.
That was 5
though.
Years ago.
Yeah,
they
I
were
know,
better.
Yeah.
We were. So we? Were we.
So still so
that is so true.
Yeah. 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 We all were. Yeah. Ryan Saunders, the son of Flip Saunders, coached in his first game as the interim coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves and gets the win, an impressive win, as the Wolves beat the Thunder 119-117.
So the Thunder's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins, who Jimmy Butler hated. He hated Karl-Anthony Towns, and he hated Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins had 40-10 last night. All right? I don't know why they fired Tom Thibodeau. I have absolutely no idea. I'm not steeped in the lore of the Minnesota Timberwolves. But I will tell you that Thibodeau and Jimmy Butler, I think it's possible. I know Jimmy Butler is toxic. I think it's possible so is Tom Thibodeau. Mm-hmm. And Wilbon defends them, loves them more than any two people other than Dwayne Wade, loves them more than any two people in basketball. And I don't know that they are worth his love.
This even the stories of Jimmy Roberts in Philadelphia, he's playing quite well. Just he seems to clash with everybody,
he's
wherever he
angry.
Goes.
He's angry. He doesn't like anybody.
Yeah.
He doesn't like authority. He doesn't like anybody. He's a very, very fine player.
Sure he is, yeah.
But
he's great.
He leaves, you know, broken glass, right? He leaves broken glass wherever he goes.
You know who else seems angry is Westbrook, but he just...
But he's always angry.
Well, he plays angry.
But he's like, but I'll stay here. I'll be loyal to this team.
Yeah.
Seems to be.
He actually, to read and see him interviewed...
He
doesn't strike me as angry as he does on the court. He plays angry.
Right.
God, he plays
He's
angry
great.
On the court. Yeah.
To politics, Mr. Tony. Corey Stewart, Republican in Virginia, who lost to Tim Kaine, for governor last fall, has said that he is going to step down at the end of this year. As he said, until and unless the Commonwealth is ready for my views on things.
But they're not.
And that's not right now, clearly.
Mm-hmm. No, no.
It's a guy, I guess, that sort of defended preserving Confederate monuments, things like that. Was not all that popular.
Look, the people of Virginia said, we don't want you.
Yes.
And so he's not going to run again, which leads me into this other thing that everyone tells me I'm wrong about. Beto, what's Beto's
O'Rourke?
Beto O'Rourke.
He lost. He lost. Why would you draft? Why? He's 0-1. Why would you start him in game two? He's 0-1. Well, I don't get this.
It's like Kingsbury. Maybe he's good with quarterbacks.
I don't get it.
You don't understand that he did very well for a Democrat in a place where Democrats typically do not do well.
Yeah. Yes, but is that a reflection of him, or just that everyone says, oh, well, God, anybody but Cruz?
That's a fair question.
He lost.
I wouldn't count him out yet. I mean,
I
think Democrats are looking for some star that has yet to be discovered.
Cliff Kingsbury.
I believe one time in what Nigel would refer to as your history, a candidate has lost the Senate race and then subsequently gone on to attain the presidency, and that was Abraham Lincoln.
That's a while back.
Yeah, but
back,
did he do anything while he was in office?
It's a while back.
Second best president of
we
all
voted.
Time.
That's
we pre-internet.
Yeah, that's pre-internet.
Mr. Tony, this
nobody
is,
did you vote for him?
Yeah. Nobody outside of Illinois knew he lost for the Senate. They didn't know.
Wasn't on Twitter back then?
No.
Mr. Tony, this is a very disturbing story.
This is the man licking the doorbell?
Yeah, this is just the headline. Man
not to undercut Nigel's news story.
Man caught on video licking house's intercom system for hours. Yeah. Not once. This is not a Tootsie Roll pop.
Right.
Four licks and then you get the Tootsie Roll Center.
Right.
No, this is for hours. This is a California man facing charges. Roberto Arroyo, age 33, was caught on the surveillance licking the system for hours. This is in Salinas in California.
Very unfortunately, I've seen this video. He looks sort of longingly right into the Ring video camera.
Right.
So he realizes he's being videoed. Now, to his credit, that's not all he did. He returned later, reportedly, to urinate and steal extension cords.
Right. Well,
so he's a triple threat. Clearly a triple threat.
Did he know the occupants of the house? Was there something he was working through by doing
no,
this?
No, but the people, that because the security system was activated when he got close, and they were like, why is it going off? It's too early in the morning. And then he just sat there and laughed at it. Who is this guy? So he's facing a little bit of trouble.
I mean, what's the crime?
Yeah, what
doorbell
exactly,
licking?
What is
trespassing,
what is,
maybe?
What is he going away for?
Prowling and violation of probation and generally being
General creepiness.
Yeah, general creepiness.
He's a repeat licker.
What is
I mean,
he
does that
on
surprise you?
For?
Does that surprise you? He's on probation. No. If this is the sort of thing he's doing,
no.
Is he legal? God help us if he is here illegally.
Do you know that commercial, that Mayhem commercial?
Right.
Where the guy looks at his doorbell and he goes, "I'm going to steal your car." He goes, "What? What?" He steals the car and smashes it into another car.
We'll now take you to Florida, to Sarasota,
okay,
Mr. Good. Tony, where...
Really spanning the globe, Nigel.
Well, yes. We like to take, you know, where the news takes us. Let me find the name of this woman. What is her name? Carpenter. I'm sorry. This woman, Carpenter, was a substitute teacher at a school.
Is she a carpenter?
No, her name is Heather Carpenter.
Oh, okay.
And she,
no relation to
simply
Bob.
Carpenter.
Karen.
Yeah, she's like Sting. Just one name. She had a dispute. She's a substitute teacher.
Is this about the Outback again?
No.
Take me to the Outback or I'll kill you both?
No, this is different. I know, and Bootsy's excited about this story. She had a dispute with her principal, Allison Foster, some sort of professional dispute that has not been described
to
us.
She is a teacher?
She's a substitute teacher.
Okay.
She found out that the principal, Allison Foster, was going to take her daughter to a park to celebrate the daughter's birthday. So Ms. Cartman had said, I've got an idea. I'm going to ruin that party. So she came up with a creative plan to spread feces over the entire park, including grills and tables and swings.
What kind of feces?
It doesn't specify.
How did she collect?
Yeah.
That also doesn't specify. Clearly, this is something she was working on for a while. The damage is totally...
Why does she hate this woman so much?
All it says is there was a professional dispute with Heather Carpenter and the principal.
What were the damages?
$2,300, yes. So there you go.
That's Florida?
Okay. That's Florida.
That's very good newscast. Very good newscast. We will come back.
Enjoy breakfast, everybody.
Yeah.
We're going to come back with
everyone?
Old Guy Radio.
Nice game for Verano last
night. A lot of things to talk about on Old Guy Radio. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Lowe's ad. Lowe's is my new go-to destination where I can explore the latest innovative Craftsman products, including their new V20 power tool battery platform. Craftsman's V20 cordless power tool lineup features a high capacity lithium battery that's part of Craftsman's interchangeable battery system. So it works with all the tools in their V20 lineup, giving you the runtime you need.
And we talk about that all the time.
And the power you deserve. The one battery system works on multiple products, making the V20 lineup easy to use and quite versatile.
Absolutely.
V20 brushless power tools, they're all proudly made in the United States. They use global materials, but they make them in Charlotte, North Carolina. all have brushless motors delivering high efficiency, better runtime, more power, greater durability for all your projects. Michael, was the baby boy a worker man yesterday?
The baby boy was a worker man 2 days ago when he helped me with the new shelving system that we did use Craftsman's tools to put up.
There you go. That's our family that uses tools. Uses Craftsman tools.
Absolutely. But again, this is done with a screwdriver hammered through drywall.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's creative. You can explore the entire Craftsman V20 lineup at your local Lowe's store, or you can visit Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony, because Lowe's is the new home of Craftsman.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. These are Rolling Stones. This is not Fade Away. Why are we playing this?
Because on this day...
Because it's great.
Yeah, it's just fantastic.
This is Buddy Holly tune, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Buddy Holly, yes.
And this is why Buddy should be on your Mount Rushmore.
This is
one of many reasons.
This was... written by Buddy Holly, and I'm trying to figure out who the other person was in it. One of the other crickets. Wrote it. Jerry Allison, I believe. And we're playing this because on this date in 1963... Charlie Watts joined that little band.
Is that right?
Called the Rolling Stones.
So that is...
And this was their first big hit.
56 years ago.
Yeah, this was released as a single, later released as...
My Love is Stronger Than a Cadillac. I try to show up, but you drive me.
Norman Petty, Nige.
Was it Norman Petty?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got that wrong.
Buddy Holly and Norman
Petty. It's like a takeoff on the Bo Diddley beat, just a slightly different Bo Diddley beat. And it's just fantastic.
Do you remember this first album?
Yes. Of course, I have it downstairs.
England's newest hitmakers, right?
Yeah. I just... My Ladies brother brought it home from college, and I just took it and listened to it day after day. It was so good.
It's fantastic.
Route 66.
Yeah. And you can, for albums like that, you can drop me into them, and I will know the next song.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I will know the next
You know the transition,
song
yeah.
I know,
the end of one makes you think of the start of another.
And that's all sort of lost now because albums, you know, everything's done with streaming and
I don't know
buying
how
kids today.
The kids.
And you know, if you look at...
I don't know what's wrong with these kids today.
If you look at the songs on those early
albums... Who can understand anything else?
you see how much the Stones were a cover band for a while till Jagger...
Yeah, until they started
writing.
Yeah, but weren't the Beatles like that originally? Weren't they covering all sorts of stuff?
Everybody covered. Yeah, I mean, that's how you started out.
That's what
like
you
the
do.
Classics. That's how Feynman and his group became the group that they became.
That is very true.
So I'm glad that we started with Old Guy because it enables me to talk about a story in the Washington Post today by Chris Richards. Now, I don't know Chris Richards. If he walked in here right now and said, I'm Chris Richards, I would not know him. He's a rock and roll guy. And I've read some of his work before, and I'm not even going to comment on what I like or what I don't like. He kills Imagine Dragons, absolutely kills them in the paper today. Kills them to such a degree that there are probably going to be people out there who are going to come back, kill him, you know, personally, and write about him. I'm just going to read some of these things. Now, Imagine Dragons, I don't know their group. I'm too young. I'm too old. They're too young. But I know they're hot.
10-year-old group out of Vegas. They played at the...
This is my point. My point is they must be a real big deal because they were the halftime show at the national championship game. That is probably second or third to halftime at the Super Bowl.
And they played at the Stanley Cup, too, being local to Vegas.
May be an audition for playing at halftime of the Super Bowl, for all I know. I'm sure they have a lot of fans.
Popular with my high school junior, you need to know.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Right.
Here is some of the words that this guy uses. Has humanity ever listened to so much music against its volition? Imagine Dragons in the gym. Imagine Dragons at the mall. Imagine Dragons in 3 out of 5 movie trailers before the feature presentation, which also features a song by Imagine Dragons. Imagine Dragons at every public sporting event held inside every arena or arena-shaped thing. Imagine Dragons in television commercials for computers and video games and Jeep Cherokees. When the devil met Imagine Dragons at the Crossroads back in 2012, he found a way to take all our souls. He promised to play Radioactive in every Uber. Imagine Dragons wishes it were Queen, but only in concept. There is no sex, no humor, and no chest hair to be found in any Imagine Dragons song. If there's any friction to it at all, it resides between the anti-authoritarian platitudes and the virulent melodies. This is music that makes you feel like it's watching you. For 10 difficult minutes, the band played almost all of the songs you forgot you had ever forgotten. There was that one that goes thunder, 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 and the one that goes believer, believer, believer. Alas, it didn't play the one that goes radioactive, radioactive. I forget what it's called. This is a just an unbelievable takedown by whoever Chris Richards is. And again, I don't know who he is. I'm going to continue because it gets better. We used to mock music that felt this airless by saying it sounded focus grouped. Nowadays, we taunt it by calling it algorithmic. Same thing. Instead of expressing its humanity, this is music that aims only to fulfill the expectations of an audience that doesn't really know what it should expect anymore. But if audiences are still feeling anxious about the death of rock and roll, they shouldn't. Musical traditions don't die. They might fade in prominence or dwindle in circulation, but they don't slump neatly into rectangular pits of earth. And yet we've made Imagine Dragons into the everlasting Glade plug-in of the world, a band with no imagination guards an imaginary tomb. That is a... just, that is so great. Gene, how great is that?
It is great, and it's great to have a critic be fearless like just that, to just wade dive
in.
Right in.
Wade in. Now, and I'm assuming that you only do this if Imagine Dragons is gigantic.
Right.
Right? Gigantic.
Yes. And also, you only do it if, like Chris Richards, you've covered a lot of rock and roll. This isn't somebody who's just a drive-by critic of a rock and roll band. I mean, this guy knows his stuff.
That was, if you're Imagine Dragons, you've got to send him a case of champagne. Yeah. You've got to say, you know what? I hate your guts, but we've never been crushed like you just crushed us in a big-time organization newspaper. That's just, it is.
It is unremitting.
Boom. Yeah, there are other people in the style section whose names I won't mention who have no right
today
to crush anybody or anything because they can't write, can't think, and all they care about is themselves. This was artfully done with a series of
sledgehammers. What'd they ever do to him, man? He must hate that music.
I would put it in the constellation with classic Tom Scales.
Who used to kill Kathy Lee Gifford more than anybody in the world.
Yes.
And even she said, he writes pretty well. He writes pretty well. Okay, big snow coming. Washington, D.C. I called Kevin Sheehan yesterday on an entirely other topic, on the topic of podcasts and radio and stuff like that. And
Kevin said, he was gleeful about this.
Kevin was happy. Kevin says, it's coming. It's
going 4+. Chuck Bell.
We still have two competing models.
4+. Last night.
Is that the latest now? They're saying 4+?
Well, no. I'm going to give you the latest.
Okay.
Okay?
I mean, last I had heard, they had said some snow Saturday night into Sunday, maybe some accumulation.
Okay.
But then again, I thought Josh McDaniels was taking the Browns job.
Kevin had this. But last night,
he had it yesterday.
Last night on the 6:00, Doug Camera, fanboy Doug Camera, he's out there. He's smiling. He's got his chest popped out. He is ready to rock and roll. He's saying snow's coming and it's going to overspread the entire area. We're all getting it. We're all getting it. He goes, I'm not going to predict how much right now. We professionals, we wait until there's 48 hours to go.
You wait till the 11 o'clock.
So I won't predict.
You wait until after the storm.
I won't predict until Thursday. So today's Wednesday.
That's
so right. I didn't figure a prediction. Well, Chuck Bell ready to rock and roll.
Absolutely.
Chuck Bell, sadly, Melissa Mollet wasn't on camera today. They went to Jack Taylor instead. Melissa Mollet probably oiling down the sleds for her kids.
Yeah.
Getting ready for Saturday
waxing
and
those
Sunday.
Blades.
Getting ready for Saturday and Sunday.
Cross-country
because what Chuck Bell said, he went something like 80% chance or 90% chance of accumulations to 4 inches,
mm-hmm.
up to 4 inches, 50% four to eight, 50% and 10% eight or more.
Wow.
10% right now, but it's in flux because every time you see another map, more white and blue covers the Washington, D.C. area, Saturday and Sunday. Now, this is troublesome for me. My cardiologist says I cannot shovel.
Did you prevent
it? And the kids across the street are in college. So I don't know.
Should I bring down the Braun boys?
I don't. Somebody's going to have to shovel.
We got to start cultivating Bootsy. Yeah.
Bootsy too.
Bootsy's
young.
Doing deep squats with his diaper bag over here in the corner. I think he's ready to go.
So let me say, Doug Kammerer does not want to call this until
he's going to call
Thursday.
He'll call it tonight. He'll definitely call it tonight.
So he will be calling it tonight, Wednesday, the 9th of January. On the 7th of December.
Four. At least four.
On the 7th of December.
Okay. Kevin.
Kevin Sheehan said, now granted he was off a day, January 15th, well maybe what will Sunday be, the 13th? Kevin on December 7th said, January 15th, coastal storm, 4 to 8 inches.
This is not coastal.
No.
4 to 8 inches north and west, 2 to 3 inches south of the rain snow line. That's not bad for a month and a half out.
That's fine, but we're gonna get it. Okay? Yeah. We're gonna get it. Saturday and Sunday. That's what it looks like now.
So no podcast Sunday.
No podcast Sunday.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. We'll just call it now.
Maybe no podcast Monday if I can't get out of my house.
That's not likely.
Well, yeah, if it's 10 plus.
People say all the time, can you get out of your driveway? And I go, I don't know. I don't have a driveway. So I don't have a garage. I don't have a driveway.
Well,
so
can't Nigel sleep over the weekend?
Yeah,
and he can help you shovel out.
Yeah, shovel.
In the little house.
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't sleep in the little house. It's totally
No, it's quite lovely in there.
It's uninhabitable. Okay, so I did what I'm guessing everybody did.
Yeah.
I stayed up late enough to watch Donald Trump,
yes.
and then I stayed up stupidly to watch Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. I don't know what was I really expecting?
They almost could have just made it succinct and said everything that guy said.
That's it. No,
forget it.
We're going the other way. Trump told about needing border security, and he told horror stories about illegal aliens killing United States citizens, and he talked about a steel wall instead of a concrete
and
wall.
The free flow of drugs.
And he's got to do this. He's got to do this because the one thing you remember from his campaign is we're going to build a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it. He even went so far as to say that in effect, Mexico is going to pay for it because of the new trade deal and on.
Which has not been signed.
Right. Hasn't been signed. And then Pelosi and Schumer got up and said, you know, this is not the way we work. When you just
what
open
he
the
said,
government,
only the opposite.
Yeah, just right. open the government. We're not right. playing this game. You know, we're not playing this game. So two things struck me. One is comical, and one is not so comical. And the comical one is Alec Baldwin looks just like him. They make him up to look
I can't wait for Saturday.
That's rolling through your head the whole time.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Alec Baldwin, how good they get it. And the second thing is, and this is the hard part. This is the hard part. Because every country does need to control who comes in and who goes out. They do. They need to vet. They do. They actually do. He know less or no more than anybody else as a president. You got to know who's coming in. You can't let them sneak in. You can't.
Nobody disagrees with
right.
that.
And the hard part then is this, that you grow up in the United States of America affirming that it's the best place on earth and that it's about the thing that's written at the base of the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your teeming masses,
you're hungry, you're tired,
yearning
you're
to
poor.
Be free. Yeah. And there's a conflict here. There is an obvious conflict here. It doesn't matter how smart or how not smart you are. You've got to be able to see the conflict. You've got to be able to see that there's a way to resolve this. And you have people on opposite ends saying, there is no resolution unless you do it my way. And I don't know what you do with that. I don't know.
Well, there doesn't seem to be a huge consensus for a wall, whether concrete or steel, being the most effective way
but you certainly
to
need
do that.
The concept of border security.
Nobody
everyone agrees on that.
With
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
But if you're spending $5 billion taxpayer dollars to make your hysterical campaign pledge
right.
reality.
And that's what it seems like.
That seems foolhardy.
Yeah, that's exactly what it seems like. That's exactly what it seems like. That it's just about a campaign pledge. Even though there's reason to if you don't understand that you need border security, you're being crazy. You're just being crazy. You can't just airlift people.
But
nobody
does.
Right.
Right. No one is arguing.
Everybody
so it's the method.
Yeah, and the ego involved, that sort of ego fulfillment. I'm concrete. First, it's going to be concrete. I'm a builder. I know. Oh, no, then it's going to be steel. No. And by the way, we're building it. We've already built it. No.
Is it not as ego-driven on the opposite side? It seems to me it is.
I don't think so.
Really?
Because for me, the ego, the monument to the ego is a wall. Whereas the other side is like, improved technology, more feet on the ground, more boots on the ground.
Doorbells that a guy can lick.
Yeah,
right.
Stuff like that.
Right, like coming over the Rio Grande, there's a doorbell, and you can lick
and
it for the
rest
of the
time.
And
the ego involved in explicitly stating other presidents wanted this and couldn't get it done. Or this was on their agenda, and they had to drop it, and I'm going to be the one to do it.
Well, I don't know that they wanted walls. Did they want walls?
Well, they
did want
walls. Well, no. They don't, but only if you believe what all the living presidents have said.
Right. Right.
So, well, not all of them, but the previous.
So that's why we are here at Chatter offering furlough specials.
Right.
You know, what is the idea of a... Now, maybe it ends today.
When they make a deal, though, isn't the very definition of a deal...
is a compromise.
A compromise. Both sides walk away being like, I'm not happy.
They don't have...
So, I mean, nobody's going to get everything they want.
Well, nobody's getting anything now.
Right, exactly.
Nobody's getting anything.
And it's
no soup for you.
It's very real come Friday for nearly a million people within the sound of our voice who aren't getting paychecks, who need paychecks.
Mostly here. Right?
Yes.
Mostly in this area.
Including some in our audience.
No,
apparently.
There's plenty of people all over the country who aren't.
I thought it was mostly here.
I don't know.
No,
about
federal
mostly.
Penitentiary workers. Okay. I mean,
yeah.
All
I mean,
over
Alaska, park workers.
Park workers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, that's it. I don't, I have nothing brilliant to say. And I'm not as angry as I was earlier in the show. So we'll come back with email and jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, this is a new ad for us. This is for Simply Safe, and I'm going to read it, but you're going to tell when I go off script, because everybody always does. We all put off doing things we know we need to do. I mean, we know we need to organize the garage, or, and then it says in brackets, please personalize with your own ideas. Well, I don't have a garage.
No, you don't.
So I want to organize sometimes the attic. And I go up in the attic, and I sit down, and I'm going to organize it. And I say, you know what? I'm not going to. My children like will inherit this, and I don't care.
I just organized my garage.
There, great job on you.
Perfect timing.
Something always gets in the way. It's funny how home security can be like that. You know it's a good idea, but there's always something holding you back. Well, now is the time to act and protect your home with Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe believes nothing should come between you and protecting your home. So they've gotten rid of the reasons not to get home security. There's no contract ever. There are no price markups from any middleman. There's no installation windows. Who has time for that? More importantly, their system is engineered to do one thing brilliantly: protect. So if a storm takes out your power, Simply Safe is ready. If an intruder cuts your phone line, Simply Safe is ready. If they destroy your keypad or siren, Simply Safe will still get you the help you need. Maybe it's overkill. Maybe it's the last thing you want to think about when you're making so many other changes and resolutions. But with Simply Safe, you're always ready for anything. So get a jump on protecting your home at simplysafe.com/Tony. No time like the present, right? That's simplysafe.com/Tony to protect your home and family today with Simply Safe. And it's spelled a little bit differently than you think, so let me spell it for you. S-I-M-P-L-I, safe. SimplySafe.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you folks.
That is Kirsten Ohnstadt, of course.
Beautiful.
Lovely.
Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report for coming on with us today. Let me thank our sponsors, Simply Safe, Bespoke Post, Sonos, and Lowe's. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show, wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Now, we're going to have to improvise today. The printer isn't working, except for a couple that we had from yesterday. Email, and then Michael is going to press buttons.
Stay tuned.
And we'll see what
people in chatter might want to get their cameras out.
Yeah,
Tony's
going to
electronically read
this. This is from Rory in Cleveland. Did you see that once Chelsea Janes announced she was switching gears and covering the 2020 presidential election, there was a bunch of Ingleside residents on Twitter who came out of their rocking chairs grumbling the equivalent of how dare you have a baseball beat writer cover a complex thing like the presidential race. I was proud to see David Aldridge, Barry's Verluga, and some Littles chime in on social media to defend Chelsea. I hope I speak for all Littles and fans of the show to wish Chelsea the best, and I know she'll do a great job on the 2020 beat. I look forward to reading her stuff and possibly having her call into the show with a report. We love Chelsea.
Yeah.
I'll miss her on the Nats.
Yeah, she's great on the Nats. People do this all the time. Can I give you the name David Remnick?
Right.
You know, I mean, he won a Pulitzer Prize. He started out covering the Washington Federals. They're a football team in the USFL.
Greg James.
Don't limit
people.
Before he was crazy.
Stop. Glenn Winters, Newport News, Virginia. I always enjoyed Jason Lock and Forrest's segment on the show, and like all other Littles, I've been rooting for copper. Out of curiosity, I went on the Google machine just now to see what they look like. What a surprise. I always imagined Jason would look kind of like Frank Isola, but in reality, he's more of a George Costanza type, which I didn't see coming. As for copper, in my imagination, he was a sleek, athletic Labrador retriever, whereas it turns out he looks like the dog version of a pierogi. But I'm fine with that because that's cute. Thanks for providing entertainment for my daily walks with my dog, Joy the Wonder Beagle. Here we go, from John Barnes in Alexandria, Virginia. So Jews don't own tools? Can I interest you in someone I like to call Noah? He built an ark. An ark?
Yeah. He had help.
He had people do that for him.
Mike in Burke, Virginia. Did I hear Gary Williams say that Ray Lewis had his arm around Steve Bisciotti's neck at the Ravens-Chargers game?
Yes.
There are those who would be nervous in that situation.
Yeah.
Bill Keister from Kensington. Keister. With the runaway success of At the Movies and Chatter on Books, I can't wait to hear the next extension of the Tony Kornheiser podcast universe. Can I make a suggestion? Next show would be called Men of the People. This show would simply be a weekly pod where you and Wilbon bring on some of your salt of the earth friends and discuss the cities that do and do not have acceptable hotel accommodations. Wilbon would just throw out a potential city and you would shout, is there a Ritz there? And then the two of you would determine how far away you would have to stay from the destination in order to find acceptable accommodations. It would be great. When you're done with the travel segment, you can discuss your favorite tools and the last DIY project that you paid someone else to do in your house. You know, tough projects like light bulb replacement and toilet plunging. I assume at this point, when the toilet gets backed up, Wilbon just sells the house.
Yes.
Maybe when his schedule allows, Luke can come on and talk about life in early retirement. It would be epic. So this is Kelleher and Rideholm.
Yes.
Their idea is for Wilbon and I to do a show called The One Percenters.
Yeah.
And then we talk about the very, very difficult things in life, such as when your beach car breaks down.
It's not that you have these conversations that makes it entertaining. It's the ease with which you have these conversations that makes it entertaining.
From Scott Polichette. I'm a big fan, long time little. I've been listening to you since 2003. On your Monday, January 7th show, you stated there are no Jewish carpenters. I have to ask you about Jesus. Yeah, there was no Lowe's or Craftsman Tools in Nazareth. I know you're not a skilled craftsman like JC. I know in my meager carpentry skills, a conversation with God is common, like, please, God, let's work. I sometimes talk directly to JC after hammer to my finger. This is just food for thought. Yes, carpenter.
Yeah.
Yes,
true.
Did I say it or did someone else say it? Did someone else write it?
I don't
know.
Recall that. We'll have to check the tape.
Why are you looking
Jeff
at me?
Jackson attached a sketch from my mural. Oh, it's people on polo ponies. Oh, it's Michael on the pony.
Oh.
It's Michael on the pony. That's a lovely one. I don't think we're going to do that, but that's funny. Stacy Scott, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Recently, the man I'm related to by marriage, and not a little, said that he wants our next car to be a Subaru. My only response was, well, I guess you love our daughter more than I do. He was confused, but even more so when I said no, because, quote, I just don't think I could listen to Tony Kornheiser whilst driving one, and ended the conversation.
Yeah.
One more from Elizabeth Gardner, a Florida man who was being searched at the Pinellas County Jail, surprised officers when he pulled three syringes out of his rectum.
Whoops.
Wesley Scott, 40, was being searched upon his entry to the jail.
Rectum.
Officers say that after he pulled out the syringes, he followed it up by telling them that they were not his and he did not know how they got there. Scott had just been arrested on a warrant for a previous drug charge and is now facing additional charge of introductory and possessing contraband.
Yeah, those were not mine, and I would like them back, despite what people may say.
He's going to lose on appeal.
Yeah, I would think so, yes.
If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You got to harvest your nuts right now, man.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you.
Some respect. You get fucked and get wrecked. I'm out the street and down the step. Underneath that arch is where we met. I hear people out here in the underground, and it was then I heard the sound. It took me through the places that I walked. Back when pattern round the floor.